This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour satellite soiree. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Sioux Falls to St. Louis, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
Stay listening, D.A. Everything we say in D.A., everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. They found a better way to mortgage that you can focus on making your new house your home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Boy, we are absolutely slammed today. I think it's going to be a really good show. Coming up this hour, we'll have Boston Globe NFL reporter Tara Sullivan join us in studio. We'll talk about one of the most incredible outcomes, maybe one of the most startling outcomes of the NFL weekend. Not that the Ravens beat the Patriots, but how the Ravens beat the Patriots and how handily the Ravens beat the Patriots, 37-20. Before that game, pundits were calling the Patriots defense perhaps the greatest ever. After that game, Lamar Jackson hung 37 points, along with a defensive touchdown as well. We'll talk to Tara Sullivan in studio about it coming up here in about 35 minutes from now. College football rankings are out for the playoff for the first time this season. Houston Nutt's going to join us and ahead of two huge games, specifically LSU-Alabama. Houston Nutt from the CBS Sports Network is going to drop on by 1 hour from now. And in hour number three, Herman Moore is going to join us. Four-time Pro Bowler, three-time All-Pro, one of the most productive wide receivers of the 90s. Herman Moore is going to join us coming up in hour number three. We'll also discuss the decision the Carolina Panthers have with Cam Newton now that he's shut down for the season. I've got your champ and your chump, and also the Chargers respond angrily to the London report we discussed yesterday on the show. All of that is coming up this morning on the program.
Now, wait a minute.
Now, any of those topics you want to jump in on, and I know you guys have thoughts on this college football playoff ranking. I know that there are some people that are not happy with what they saw last night when the college football playoff rankings were released for the first time. Hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Or on Twitter, you can hit me up, DA on CBS. Here's the first rankings. Of course, as we know, the only thing that matters is the final rankings, the top four in those final rankings. But Ohio State coming in number one, LSU number two, Alabama number three, Penn State number four. Now, obviously, we should not, cannot say, well, if the rankings, these were the final rankings today, if the season ended today, because that would be utterly ridiculous considering Ohio State and Penn State have not played one another yet, and they will, nor has LSU and Alabama played one another, and they will. But at this point in time, we got two SEC schools and two Big Ten schools in the top four. The two Big Ten schools would play one another in a one versus four, and the two SEC schools in the two versus three. But this will shake itself out because, as I just mentioned, those two matchups will happen in the regular season. But that is instructive because it tells you what the committee thinks about the conferences. They view the Big Ten and the SEC superior by a long shot because they drop the defending national champions, who are undefeated in Clemson, out of the top four. Last year, people were talking about that Clemson team, the 2018 Clemson Tigers, as perhaps one of the greatest of all time. ESPN.com released the top 150 college football teams ever in honor of 150 years. The 2018 Clemson Tigers ranked high on that list all time. People thought maybe a top 10 all-time team. So to be undefeated following that season last year and to be outside of the top four tells you the committee said, A, the ACC stinks. B, the SEC and the Big Ten are dominant and superior. And C, that one-point win to North Carolina feels like a loss. They put Clemson at 5, Georgia at 6, Oregon at 7, Utah at 8, Oklahoma all the way to 9, and Florida 10. Nobody can really have much of an argument that Ohio State could be deserving of number 1. I think you could argue that maybe LSU should be there. I would say I think LSU is a little bit of a better team, has a better resume, but I can't argue with Ohio State being number 1 because they have looked like the best team in the country for big swaths of this season. LSU number 2, nobody's really going to argue on that. Now let's get to Alabama at number 3. Let's compare the Clemson and Alabama resumes, considering they have met for the national championship 2 out of the last 3 years. Neither Clemson nor Alabama have beaten a team ranked in the current top 25. Their best win is the same best win, Texas A&M. Clemson has more Power 5 wins than Alabama does. Clemson has more wins over teams with winning records than Alabama has. Clemson's opponents, a better overall win percentage than Alabama. So, 2 undefeated teams. Clemson wins all of those spots. And they're not only under Bama, they're under Bama by 2 slots and outside of the top 4. Did the committee screw Clemson? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
We start with a clean sheet of paper from week 0 of the 2019 season through week 10 of the 2019 season. We don't look at past seasons. We don't look at preseason. We look at week 0 to week 10, and we do not look forward. And when we come back next week, it'll be with a completely clean sheet of paper.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That's Rob Mullins, playoff committee chair. I don't believe that Clemson was screwed. I don't believe so. Here's why. You have to remember that the committee sets this up for conversation. They do this to begin the hype train, to build an audience and interest in the college football playoffs. This is a made-for-television event that is very conveniently sandwiched in between 2 of ESPN's high-level, high-scale college basketball broadcasts, and you have the football commentators at a basketball game last night discussing the football games which will be broadcast on ESPN. This is a machine. It is made to be a hype machine. It is made to draw attention, and this is what I think the committee did. It adds some zest. It adds some juice to have Clemson outside of the top 4 because it is, wow, can you believe that? What does that say? And I do think earnestly it says that the committee looks at the ACC as trash. And how can you blame them? I'd like to poke holes in the committee's arguments, but I can't poke holes in the idea that the ACC is trash. It's not Clemson's fault. But the ACC is awful this year. I mean, god awful. You only have one other ranked team in the ACC, and that is Wake Forest. That's nearly outside the top 20. So the second best team of their conference is nearly not in the top 20. Okay? Number two, the committee knows Ohio State will play Penn State and LSU will play Alabama. So automatically, two of these teams will be handed a loss, and Clemson, if they remain undefeated, will jump those teams. The committee knows this. It's sexy right now to put Penn State at number four, knowing that Ohio State and Penn State will play, and one of the two will have a loss that will tumble them out of the top four. And they know LSU and Bama play, of course, this Saturday, and one of the two will tumble outside of the top four. So for now, it creates a talk point. But if you're a Clemson fan and you're worried about being screwed, I don't argue the point that they've got a better resume than Alabama. They just have that bad win, if you will, by 1 point over North Carolina, and Alabama does not have that, quote, bad win, looking ugly. But you can't even get angry about this, because Clemson, if they remain undefeated and they go 13-0, they're not going to have to worry, because the committee's not keeping out a 13-0 defending national champion. And since that UNC game, really since the first quarter against Louisville, Clemson's been very good. I mean, they have hit their stride. Trevor Lawrence looks better. The team's more dominant. Maybe they're more locked in. If I'm a Tigers fan, I'm not worried about this opening ranking, because I got to remember, the committee sets this up knowing that two of these top four teams ahead of Clemson will fall at some point anyway. 855-212-4CBS is that phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. We'll do a lot of football today, but I do want to just touch on LeBron James for a moment, because LeBron has a triple-double last night, and he now has three consecutive games with a triple-double. That's the third time he's done that in his NBA career. And when you look at his age and hitting a triple-double at this year, at this point in his career, it is incredible. Okay? It is absolutely incredible. In season 17, Kobe had four triple-doubles in year 17 and after. Okay, but Kobe wasn't a great passer, wasn't known for his dimes. Jason Kidd, year 17 and after, known as a great passer, maybe not a great scorer, two triple-doubles in season 17 and after. LeBron has three triple-doubles in three games in season 17. LeBron, by shutting things down last year, by missing the playoffs, and now having Anthony Davis, is at a different level than he has been in a couple of seasons. And shutting it down last year and not making the postseason was embarrassing, humiliating, black eye for that organization. But the best thing that could have happened to LeBron James for this season. Three consecutive triple-doubles. He is the first Laker to do that since Magic in 87. Magic was in his eighth season, at his prime, at his peak when he did it. LeBron is in season 17 in doing it. Outrageous. When we come back here on the show, we've got your sound check, your best audio of the day, and I should address coming up here, I want to address coming up here, something that happened over the weekend that affects the DA show that was brought to my attention by some listeners that we need to make sure is very clear around here that involves a former member of the show. So that's coming up here next as well. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab have a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
They put the glucose in my blood, Damon. Come on. Those cells are there. You know how hard a battle it is? It's uphill all the time.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
That glucose. And so that's the pros kind of day today. So send me a question. Tweet at me, DA on CBS, and I'll answer it later on in the program. Just tweet at me, DA on CBS, and I'll answer it coming up at hour number 3. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. It was about this time yesterday when Mraz went on his now iconic anti-Pat Shurmur rant.
My ass! My fat ass!
And it was an all-timer. It was one of the great Mraz rants ever. That's saying something because pretty routinely over these 7 years here on CBS Sports Radio, the Giants have been bad and have suffered some really bad losses. And Mraz has had some really good meltdowns. But I think that was the best. And it struck a nerve because there have been multiple members of the Giants Super Bowl teams of 07 and 11 that have either retweeted it or liked it. Now that is saying something.
I'm on Twitter or Facebook right now.
Mraz not only spoke for Giants fans with his frustration of Pat Shurmur, but he is clearly speaking for Giants alumni, those that remember when they were actually competitive and a playoff team and not the worst team in football over the last 3 years.
Be aggressive! Be aggressive!
So, Mraz, I doff my cap to you because not only did that video go viral, as you might imagine, available on our Twitter page, CBS Sports Radio's Twitter page, on our Facebook page, on YouTube, but you have the support of guys that have won multiple Super Bowls for the first time in your life.
Frankly, I deserve a ring. That's the way I look at it. I am all in with them.
That night that you tried on Sam Addison's ring at the Super Bowl, when probably both of you had one too many cocktails, that really should now be your ring.
As far as I'm concerned, look, I put all my blood, sweat, and tears into that emotional run as well. If they believe me and are with me on this Giant team, I deserve a ring.
What a crazy, convoluted world we live in, where Mraz's meltdown, where he says Cliff Kingsbury gets more tail than a zookeeper.
Cliff Kingsbury acts like a 19-year-old pulling more tail than a zookeeper, and that guy knows how to run an offense!
Where that rant can get liked and retweeted by multiple members of the New York Giants 2007 and 2011 Super Bowl championship team.
How about Pat? You realize how important timeouts are, Pat.
All right, Pat. I brought Pat. An almond milk for my Special K, Pat. That's on you, Pat.
Pat.
If you missed that yesterday, I'm sure it will show up in the 12 DAs of Christmas. I'm also sure that you can find it easily on any one of your social media outlets, Twitter, Facebook, and the like, YouTube as well. Let's get to your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Well, Gardner Minshew is on the bench for now. Nick Foles comes back and will start now that he's healed from his injury. Doug Marrone.
Brought both players in this morning. Spoke to both of them. After I spoke to the players, then obviously I wanted to make sure I spoke to the team, and then I wanted to get it to our media before they heard it anywhere else of where I can't control.
Super exciting, Doug. Super, super exciting. So I told Gardner, and then I texted Nick to see where he was in the facility, and I told him to come to my office. Then I told Nick, and then I called a team meeting, and I put it on the whiteboard, and guys that were in training, I went in there and told them to come to the meeting. And the meeting was set for 10:05, but I was a little bit early, so I was on my phone at about 10:01, and I sat down at the front chair.
and I looked at the injury reports for 4 minutes. Then I addressed the team. And then I went to our PR department and I said, I have something to tell you. And then we went into another meeting room. And then I got a text from my wife. And my wife said, I need to pick up the dry cleaning at approximately 4 o'clock today. And I said, I might not be there in time, honey. And she said, well, dry cleaning place closes at 4:30. And I said, we have a meeting at 3:45 that might run late.
Okay, we got it, Doug. We got it. Yeah, we got it. Thank you. Careful what you wish for. I know that Gardner Minshew didn't look good last week, but he's actually looked good at times this season. The problem here is that you've spent all the money for Nick Foles. And now that Nick Foles is healthy and Gardner didn't look good last week, you have your opening to bring him back. Let's see. I like Foles. I want to see some Foles magic. I would love to see this Jaguars team win a couple of games late and get them into the hunt. Right now they're 4-5 in a division that has two very competitive teams in it, the Texans and the Colts. And really, top to bottom, this might be the only division in all football that doesn't have a really crappy team in it. Texans, Colts, Jaguars, Titans are all within a game of 500. And that doesn't exist anywhere else in the NFL. So, can Foles do something late? Let's see. Ah, yes, Coach K, whiny right off the bat after a great opening win over Kansas.
The game certainly lived up to it. Yeah, that was a big-time game, big-time game. Yeah, we were fortunate to win. I thought we earned a win. If they would have won, I thought they would have earned a win. And that's what makes it a great game.
Eat you up with their eyes.
Read my lips. These are not highlights in my hair. This is actually not just for men. It's really this jet black. I know I haven't grayed in 65 years, but that's just because I have great genes. I'm really happy with the win last night. I'm really excited. I'll take many opportunities this season to lecture the NCAA on the new idea of players profiting off of their likeness. But for now, I'll just let you eat up my jet black hair that I dye every day. Eat it up with your eyes.
Eat you up with their eyes.
And finally, Dean Spanos not happy with the reports that were in The Athletic yesterday that we talked about of the Chargers potentially moving to London full-time.
I know there's been a lot of crap going around in the last 24 hours about this London thing, and I just want to give you a quote from me, okay? It's total okay? We're not going to London. We're not going anywhere. We're playing Los Angeles. This is our home, and this is where we're planning to be for a long time, period. Okay? And if you want me to say it again, I'll say it again. That story. Okay? Thank you.
Yeah! Yeah, take that! This is our home! We've been here 3 years. We have 10,000 fans. We play in the soccer stadium overrun by opposing fans every single week. This is our home.
Thank you.
That's total BS. We love it here. We can't wait to draw flies to the new stadium. We know that nobody in this town cares about us, but this is our home. We're LA till we die, baby. Does that not sound a little forced? Like when somebody catches you lying, you're like, oh, I totally didn't mean it. I never said that. Well, who told you that? Oh, I would never say that. Sounds a little forced to me. Sorry.
We're not going anywhere.
I want you to read my lips. We're LA till we die, bro. I mean, I know we were San Diego for a really long time, and I know that we kind of like ran out of options and we didn't really necessarily want to move here, and know that nobody shows up to our games, but we are LA till we die, bro.
It's total. Okay.
Yeah. There's Dean Spanos walking down the street with one of those new LA Los Angeles Clippers Kawhi jerseys. Yeah, bro. LA till we die.
We're not going anywhere.
Nowheres. Nowheresville. All right, that's your sound check. On a serious note, over the weekend, it was brought to my attention that former member of the DA show, Robbie Rosenhaus, tweeted out something that was very, very offensive, very insensitive, and in no way, shape, or form can be accepted by me. Okay? This is not even about the rest of the guys on the staff, But the rest of the guys of the staff, we take this really seriously, that this show is inclusive, that this show is at its best a place for everybody to feel safe and to come here and to share laughs and sports and a good time. And I think if you know me well enough over the last 7 years, and perhaps many of you have been listening even longer than that over the course of my career, I think that you know that my priority has always been inclusivity and a show of respect as much as possible to as many people as possible. And I refuse to back off that line, and there are some things that are totally unacceptable in my mind. What Robbie tweeted over the weekend was completely unacceptable. And in that, he is no longer a member of the show. He will not be part of any upcoming bets or bits. And that's that. And it's just, there is not a doubt in my mind it has to be that way. And I would not have known about this unless our listeners brought this to my attention. But in doing so, I'm glad that they did, because what it showed me was our listeners also have a level of integrity about the show and about what the show represents that is in line with what I believe it should represent as well. So I'm not going to read the tweet. I'm not going to cite the tweet because it's that disgusting. But he is no longer a member of the show. He's no longer associated with the show. I will not stand for that. And just so you know, the most important part of this show to me is to make sure that everybody knows there is a standard of decency and humanity within the show. And I know that we've poked fun at everybody on this show. We all get it. We all take it. We all understand that it's not serious all the time. There is a level of joking around. There is a level of lightheartedness. And I do think you can't take yourself too seriously in life. But there are lines of decency that I absolutely will uphold every single day on this show. He crossed it. There's no coming back from it. And that's that. This is black and white. This is the end. So for those that brought this to my attention, I appreciate the fact that you want better for the show. And know that I want better for the show. And I've spoken to him. And that's that. That's it. So for those that wonder where we stand on things like this, you need not wonder, because it is of the utmost importance to me to be at our very best when it matters most. And in cases like this, when it's about offensive, derogatory, insulting, racist, when it's about that, I absolutely believe we must be at our best. And in this case, that's that. I make the decision. Robbie, no longer part of the DA show. And I hope you understand. I assume you will. When we come back here on the show, Tara Sullivan's going to join us from the Boston Globe, NFL reporter. We'll talk to her about the stark difference between the Patriots before they played the Ravens and the Patriots after they played the Ravens, coming up here next. She'll join us in studio. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
I have no real will towards Damon and Mandalore.
Joe, I love you.
Damon. All the love, Damon.
All the love.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can watch the show, huh? Simulcast is cooking right now at watchda.com, available for free on any device. There's no subscription. There's no payment plan. There's no sign up. You just get to watch. Pop it on your phone right now, watchda.com, on any browser. Also, you can watch us on your tablet, on your laptop, on your PC. Anywhere, your smart TV, watch us for free. No subscription, no fees. WatchDA.com. Tara Sullivan, Boston Globe NFL reporter, had to push her time in studio to an hour from now. So we'll do that with Tara about the Ravens and the Patriots game and where the Patriots go from here, where the Ravens go from here, coming up in approximately an hour from now. That game was an eye-opener because so few teams ever beat the Patriots like that. Mraz, maybe we should look into this. Check the last time the Patriots lost by 17 points or more. Because it wasn't that the Patriots lost. It was by how big a margin they lost by. And that the Ravens were that good in all three phases, grabbed the lead after a dominant first quarter early, and then was able to salt it away throughout the rest of the game. And the Patriots fought. They made it closer in the third quarter, but ultimately too many plays for Lamar Jackson, the defense, and the ground game of the Ravens. And for Baltimore, that's not just a win. That is once again reminding us they are the only team that stands toe-to-toe with the Patriots and pokes their finger into the Patriots' face masks and challenges them and says, we're here. Everybody else thinks they stand up to the Pats. Everybody else thinks they have a worthy challenge to the Pats. But ultimately, how many times do we ever see it? Ever. Do we ever see a franchise routinely say, we are the equal of this organization? Now, clearly the Patriots have won far more than the Ravens. And the Patriots, 6 Super Bowl titles compared to the Ravens, 2 since 2000. That says obvious things about the dominance of the Patriots long term over the Ravens. But when these two teams line up against one another, the Baltimore Ravens are, in every way, shape, and form, the only team routinely that says, we will fight back and then do so successively. Mraz, last time Patriots lost by 17?
This week, last season. And this is actually stunning to even think they could lose this game by this much. They lost by 24 points at the Titans.
That's right. That was the Mike Vrabel game, where Vrabel, having all of the secrets of the Patriots organization, they got pounded in that game, and Brady was destroyed by the Titans front four.
34-10, November 11th of last year in Tennessee.
That's right. That's right. I wonder when the last time was before that, because
And they lost by 16 to Matt Patricia last year.
The Lions, early. This year, coming into this game, the Patriots had done what the Patriots always do. They absolutely dismantle bad teams. And that is one of the great compliments to the Patriots' dominance under Belichick. They never lose a game against a bad team. They might run into bad matchups, like we're talking about. Matt Patricia, former defensive coordinator, kind of knows the flaws or the vulnerabilities of his former organization. Mike Vrabel, a guy that obviously played under Belichick, knows the tendencies of the organization. Andy Reid's offense, that has had success against Belichick and the Patriots. But routinely, if you line up a bad team against them, they're not only going to beat them, they're going to squash them into dust. And what we saw on Sunday night was, for the first time this year, the Patriots played a team that was not terrible. I mean, the Steelers kind of walked that line in week number one, and they still had Ben Roethlisberger, but that's a great matchup for the Pats. They always win that game pretty much. Last year in Heinz Field, notwithstanding, they kind of own their opponents and own the Steelers and own the bad opponents, but Sunday night was different. So before last year, losers of 24 points to the Titans and 16 points against the Lions, the last time they had lost by as much as they did in Sunday night?
They lost 41-14 to the Chiefs, that infamous Monday night game in 2014.
2014, where we said the dynasty is over, Tom Brady's over. That was the On to Cincinnati day.
Correct. And they beat Cincinnati 43-17 the next week.
So it rarely happens. But what the Ravens did was pretty obvious, that they proved that
they have a weapon in Lamar Jackson and a balance on offense and defense and a coach that can play at their best against the very best. And I still think the Patriots right now are the class of the AFC, but I would also say that except in a matchup against the Ravens, which is just historically a bad matchup for the Pats. I think it's a good matchup for the Pats against the Chiefs routinely. I think it would be a good matchup for the Patriots with any other team of the AFC, the Texans, the Chiefs. But it's a bad matchup against the Ravens. And if they end up playing them in the postseason, we could see it run it back from what we saw on Sunday night. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. So now there's a decision to be made by the Carolina Panthers on what to do with Cam Newton. Because they have now put him on season-ending injured reserve with his Liz Frank injury in his foot. So he's done for the season. And so what do you do with Cam after the year is done? You have Kyle Allen, who this season is 5-1 as a starter. He makes a fraction of what Cam does. Cam is now into his 30s, and Cam has a now, unfortunately, long injury list over the last couple of years. If you're the Panthers, next year is the final year of Cam's contract, but you can release him and save 19 of the $21 million. Huge savings. Now, the Panthers don't have to do that. They're actually not up against the cap going into next year, so they can afford to keep Cam. But look, this is an advantageous situation to be in if you're the Panthers. You have a former NFL MVP who's only 4 years removed from that 2015 Super Bowl season. You have a dirt cheap starting quarterback that's looking pretty good. And you have reason to cut bait with Cam in the offseason. I mean, imagine saving $19 million next year and having a better solution at quarterback right now in Kyle Allen. If you're the Panthers, this is actually a position of strength. And it's crazy to think about because knowing what we know about Kyle Allen, who would have ever thought he could be the solution? But they've got Christian McCaffrey's upcoming extension coming. And you can see how incredibly important he is to their success. They also drafted Will Greer. You've got two young, cheap quarterbacks, one of which is playing well. You've got a young running back that you're now going to develop as the franchise guy. You've got an injury-prone 30-year-old quarterback that basically hasn't been on the season in a year and won't be on the season for a year and a half because we're shutting him down for the rest of this season into the offseason. This is, you watch what happens with Kyle Allen the final 8 weeks of the season, and it's his job to lose. And if he plays well, like he's been playing for this team over the last month and a half, 2 months, you cut bait with Cam Newton. And you save that money, and you spend it elsewhere. You try to trade Cam Newton if you can. But this is now a dress rehearsal for Kyle Allen as the quarterback of this franchise. And I'm not saying he's going to pass with flying colors. Who knows? He could come crashing back down to earth. Carriage could turn into a pumpkin. Kyle Allen might not end up being the guy. Might get exposed to the final 8 weeks of the season. But you will have 14 games as a sample size of Allen as your starting quarterback. And if he's anywhere near productive for the majority of that, you could actually go into next year confident. You have a different starting quarterback. You save a ton of money. You can spend it towards Christian McCaffrey's extension and other places on this team and not have to worry moving forward every year. If you bring back Cam, what's his foot like? What's his shoulder like? What's his body like from taking on all of that pounding over the years, being a scrambling quarterback and a big, strong quarterback that took a lot of hits in the pocket as well? It's a shame because Cam obviously has been an MVP caliber guy for them. But, and this is an unceremonious departure, but the Panthers just got some clarity. Cam shut down for the rest of the season. Kyle Allen, your dress rehearsal. If Kyle Allen plays well, we get to save $19 million next year and not have to worry about season after season if Cam's going to be healthy. When we come back here on the show, the first college football playoff rankings are out. We'll talk about them with Houston Nutt from CBS Sports Network next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.